As we prepare for your word, Lord, we ask that you would you take the stuff from the week, Lord. So many people have been so busy, one thing to the next. Lord, we pray that we would all be able to slow down right now, to be still before you, to hear from your word. And Lord, that the truth of your word would connect with us, Lord, would challenge us, would change us from the inside out, Lord. So thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we're continuing on our series, the Sermon on the Mount. And this is our second week in it. And the scripture that I had originally put was from verses 17 of chapter 5 through 37. And as I was going through it, and especially hitting the very first verse there, I really felt like, as I was praying through and talking with other people, really felt like we needed to hit this one in two blocks. And especially verses 17 through 20, hit that today. There's so much there, and I think there's also a lot of confusion in the area of the law. So I wanted to spend some time. We are going to be flying through Scripture. There is a ton of Scripture we're going to be going over today to help bring us clarity of what the word says about the law. So be prepared, and let's go in. Lord, bless us. Bless this time. Amen. Matthew 5, 17 through 20, starting in verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Guys, remember last week we had started with how can we be on the right path? Blessed are those. And we went through the Beatitudes. And the blessed means to be on the right path. And after we hit that, we hit the salt and light. And so the question comes up as we've gone through, what does it mean to be on the right path? And how do we get there? And how are we to be salt and light? And now we're getting a bigger glimpse into the answering those questions as we go to the truth of what God's word says, of what his law says. And it starts out with, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. There's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to the Old Testament law. The law, especially which God gave to Moses at Mount Sinai after bringing the people out of Egypt. And quite honestly, guys, Moses has gotten a pretty bad rap. There's been a lot of teaching throughout the years in the church that has placed such an emphasis on the obedience of the law, apart from the Holy Spirit work and empowerment, that there's some misunderstandings that are pretty common in the church. So as Matthew 5:17 says, that Jesus came to fulfill the law. How do we deal with verses like Romans 3:31? Do we then overthrow the law by faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. So we're called to uphold the law. Romans 6:14, you are no longer under the law, but under grace. So which is it? Are we to uphold the law, or are we under the law or under grace? Or, I mean, and as you can see, if we just kind of lightly tinker with this, we can be in a little bit of confusion here. Are we under the law or are we under grace? And the misunderstanding of the Mosaic law is a big challenge, so I wanted to spend some time on it. Guys, I believe part of our confusion is caused by the simple fact that the word law in the New Testament has multiple meanings, at least three that I've found. Three meanings in the New Testament as it's used in different contexts. The first one is it can refer to the whole Old Testament, the law in Romans 3:19. If we can pull Romans 3:19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Guys, this is where the whole Old Testament is referred to as the law. It can also be referred to as part of the Old Testament. When Jesus says, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets in Matthew 5:17, specifically it refers to the Old Testament law of Moses. So this is speaking about the Moses of law, the first five books called the Torah.
And in Luke 24:44, Jesus said, "These are my words which I spoke to you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Once again, more scripture, old and new. It's talking about the law of Moses. And the third meaning, and this is the one that brings the most confusion, is this. The third meaning of the term law is not a different part of the Old Testament, but it's the Old Testament understood in the wrong way. It's a misunderstanding of the Old Testament. Many in Israel had twisted the Mosaic law into legalism. And so it was all about what you do, and they served it as the foundation of faith. The law is what they serve, not God, but the law. They failed to stress the dependence on the Holy Spirit. And so there was a sense that it was what I was accomplishing as I was earning the favor of God. And they turned the commandments into a job description for how to earn the wages of salvation. Guys, that's legalism. It's legalism. I don't know if you knew this, but in the Greek, there's no word for legalism. And so when Paul wanted to refer to a distorted understanding of the Mosaic law, he often used the phrase works of law. And this is very important. Romans 3:20 says, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law." That's the wrong understanding of the Mosaic law. "Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." Galatians 2:16, "Know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, so that we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law," the wrong understanding of the Mosaic law. "Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." So it's making it clear. Galatians 3:2, "I would like to learn just one thing from you." I love the it's a little sarcasm here. "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard?" Faith. But sometimes he simply used the word law, not just the works of the law, but sometimes the word law is used to give the example of the wrong understanding of the Mosaic law, as in Romans 6:14, "For sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law," the wrong understanding, "but under grace." We're going to see that this does not mean you don't have to keep the law, okay? It means that you're not burdened by the law as a job description of how to earn the wages of salvation. Guys, a lot of times things are taught. I remember being at Bible college, and man, there was such an emphasis put on the Mosaic law as different as its foundation. And quite honestly, I believe that I was taught wrong. That the law of Abraham and the law of Moses, it was like plan A and plan B. God doesn't make mistakes. And he's not saying, "Oh, I messed it up with Abraham." He's bringing further clarification and understanding. And so we need to be so careful, guys, when we really look at the whole area of our understanding of the law. So whenever you read the word law in the New Testament, ask yourself, is this the Old Testament as a whole? Is it referring to the writings of Moses? Or is it the legal distortion of Moses' teaching? Which one is it talking about? It's the... Absolutely. The Ten Commandments is another one of the law that we refer to. Four that we can think of right now. Thank you. Right? And I'm sure that if we spend a lot of time, we could probably come up with, we might be able to come up with another. So Many Bible teachers have argued for the Mosaic covenant made at Mount Sinai as fundamentally different. And I do not believe that's true. Their argument is this: the Abraham covenant, a new covenant, and the new covenant of salvation, both Abraham and the covenant of Jesus, that those are freely to be received by faith apart from works of the law. Apart from the works of the law. But under the Mosaic covenant, this is what the false teaching sometimes can be: salvation, God's blessing, is not offered freely by faith, but instead it's offered as a reward for the works of the law, apart from God himself working through us. Since only perfect works could merit salvation from a perfect and holy God, I realize, guys, this is a little thick, but I think it brings such clarity if we get understanding. Only perfect works could merit salvation from a perfect and holy God, and nobody can achieve that. So the law simply makes us aware of our sin and misery and pronounces our condemnation. That's false teaching. That's not the whole story. This is one of the most popular views of the Mosaic law, and it's wrong. That limited understanding is not the full understanding. It's wrong, and it's been wrong in the past, and I believe we get freedom when we bring clarity to it. Why is it wrong? It's important for us to know this. A few things are important. It makes a legalistic Pharisee out of Moses. Guys, Moses was not a Pharisee who was teaching a false truth, that it's different now, and then, oh, here's Jesus, and back to the way we had talked about originally with Abraham. It also turns the Torah, that limited understanding, turns the Torah into the very heresy that Scripture condemns. And worst of all, it tries to pose God as his own worst enemy, because he's saying it's freely given. Oh, no, it's not. It's only received if you jump through these hoops in the right way, at the right time. Commanding that people try to earn his blessing instead of resting in his all-sufficient mercy. Guys, in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God, and God credited it to him as righteousness. It's always been about faith, not works. It's not Jesus and. It's Jesus. And so we've got to be so careful with this. And I want to try and do a little defense of Moses here with the wrong teaching that's come often through the church on this area of misunderstanding and giving us. I want to spend a little time on a biblical theology of the law. So let's jump in it together. The first area I want to look at is the law is fulfilled when we love our neighbor. Oh, here's Pastor Matthew talking about love again. I think we need to talk about it because it's what God's word talks about. The law is fulfilled in love. Love is a fulfilling of the law. The main text here is Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to what? To love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled what? The law. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. That goes into a little more understanding. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of what? Love is the fulfillment of the law. Guys, the message didn't change from Moses. The message has been the same. The law brings greater clarity of the love of God, not taking us away from the love of God. Galatians 5:14, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, are you sensing a theme? The whole thing, it's It's fulfilled in this what? Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Paul wasn't taking a big risk when he boiled the whole law into one command. Jesus gave him that authority when in Jesus 7:12, Jesus says, "Whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." James 2:8, "If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are what? You are doing right. You are doing right." So in the New Testament, what God is trying to do through the law is to make what? Loving people out of us. What does the law, why is the law there? Not so we keep the law to be rigid to the law, so we understand the heart of God. And now I read the law and, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about loving God and having His love work through me so that I can love others well. I can serve. I can be a servant of God. I can have the right heart. I can do the right things with the right heart behind it. Guys, this is a beautiful thing. It's absolutely beautiful. The first one, the law is fulfilled in love. Every single commandment, Romans 3:13-9, the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, steal, covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So the second thing that we see from Scripture, from the law, is the point that love, the fruit of faith is love. The fruit of faith is love. So love is not a work that we do on our own to show ourselves worthy to God. It's not what we bring. It's the fruit of faith in the promises of God. We rest on God's truth and His promises. We take His law and it transforms us through the Holy Spirit, God Himself working through us. As I've come to faith in Jesus Christ, I'm resting not on what I can do for Him. I'm resting on what He has done already in me by faith through grace. Guys, agape love will lead to great service and obedience. I know when we talk about the law and the first question that comes, but we still are called to be obedient. Absolutely. That's an act of love. That's an act. I love God back. How? By enjoying Him and having Him be God of my life, and so I obey. But it's not I have to obey, it's I get to obey. Because He's in me. His truth is in me. It is deeper than obedience. It comes from obedience. Guys, it's out of love. Love is more than religious practice or nice, good humanitarian service to others. It's so much more than that. 1 Corinthians 13:3. If I give away all I have and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. You can look at that scripture. If I give all I have and my body burned and I gain nothing, we may ask, well, if you can die for someone and not have love, what in the world is love? What is love? And my answer, and I think God's answer, is love is not of this world. It's not what in the world is love. The answer is love is not of this world. And as soon as we have that understanding, that love comes from who? From God. It doesn't come from me. Agape love, true biblical agape love, comes from God, is received by us from God. And we give not what we have away, we give God's love away. Guys, this is so freeing because it takes the weight off our shoulders. Just do it. Oh, man, I gotta just do it. That we were never meant to carry that weight. We are not the saviors. It'll drown us if we try to carry that weight. But we are free from that lie, the misunderstanding of the law. And we are free to enjoy God in the truth of the understanding of what the law really is. Love comes from God. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for God, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So if you know how to love with agape love, guess what's happened? You've been born again. Because apart from being in Christ, we don't have love to give. It's God working through his people that we have love to give away. Praise God. We're not carrying that weight. Where there is no faith uniting the heart to God, there's no true love. And guys, that's hard to hear. It's hard for the world to hear. Because we've taken love and we've twisted the meaning of love. We've taken the meaning of love as Eros love and tried to bring that into agape love. And that's not where that love belongs. And the love of God is a pure love from God, and it is the great understanding of it and the blessing that comes from it. And it only comes from God. So, love is the outworking of genuine saving faith. We see that in Galatians 5:6. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is of any avail, but faith working through love. The origin of love is found in faith, in God, and what he's done. Galatians 5:22, love is called the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is no wrong understanding. There's only the truth of the blessings of the actual fruit of the Spirit. In other words, love can't be produced without God's enablement. It's God who enables us to love. So how do we become loving people? Galatians 3:5, the one who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you does so not by, here it is, the wrong understanding, the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. I love that. The path, how do we get on the right path? Blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are meek, blessed are those. How do we get on the right path? We have a right understanding of the law. We have the right understanding of who God is in us. And our ability to keep the law is not based on my own efforts, but God's love working in me to fulfill his purposes through me. Therefore, love is the fruit of the Spirit and the outworking of faith. All right, I told you we're going to hit a lot of scripture today. You guys doing okay? You tracking? All right. 1 Timothy 1:5 says this, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Only genuine faith is going to produce love. Guys, only genuine faith is going to produce love. We've got a fireside chat coming up. We're going to be talking about some new things that are coming up. I promise you this, with new possibilities, setting some things down and taking some new things up, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have people who think that we should focus here, think we should focus here, think we should focus here. There's going to be different ideas in the room. Praise God, we can deal with what do we do? Praise God, we can deal with disagreement in a loving way. Being loving doesn't mean we all are robots and we all think the same.
1 Corinthians 13, 1-8. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Guys, that's God's love. God's love never fails. That's what we have an opportunity to have love look like as we relate to each other, not just in the fireside chat, but in everyday life, in how we love each other and how we treat each other. As it takes no Christian grace and love to live in peace where everybody thinks and feels the same. Because the law calls for love. It calls for faith. So, the third area that I want to look at is the law did not call for works of merit, but for the obedience which flows from faith. If love is what the law aimed at, and only faith can love, guys, think about this. If love is what the law aimed at, not just obedience to the law, but love was the goal of the law, and only faith can love, then the law must teach faith. And we've seen that from scripture after scripture after scripture. The law teaches faith. Guys, unfortunately, this is often overlooked. But we can see it in Romans 9, 30 through 32. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it? A righteousness that is by faith? But the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal? Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Israel hasn't fulfilled the law, even though they had pursued it for centuries. They had been trying and trying and trying, and they didn't achieve it. And that little phrase, as if, man, as you look at that, it's so key in understanding this. It clearly shows that God never intended the law to be obeyed by works. If we try to use the law as a job description of how to earn God's favor, we are doing something that the law itself opposes. Guys, the law opposes it. The law itself is against the works of the law. The law never commanded anyone to deserve their salvation by what they do. And the law is based on faith in God's promises, not in our legalistic efforts. Because the reason I wanted to spend some extra time on this is I think it's so key. You know, one of the things I hear all the time from people throughout 26 years of ministry. Julie and I, just on Wednesday, we had our 26th anniversary. And man, 26 years. We've been doing ministry, full-time ministry, I've been doing full-time ministry for 26 years. And boy, praise God, it's not up to me, because I can't tell you how many times I've failed. It's a beautiful thing
to not have everything based off our own efforts. And the mistake of Israel was not in pursuing the law, but in pursuing it by works instead of faith. Romans 3:31, do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Matthew 23:23, I call this my Michael Jordan verse. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Guys, if we're going to talk the law, let's look for a minute at part of the law of Moses itself, at the Ten Commandments. And let's look at the beginning of it, the heart of the Mosaic Covenant, found in Exodus 20. As we get ready for that, we're looking, remember, what's happened. Israel has arrived in the wilderness of Sinai 3 months after the Exodus, the exodusing Egypt. So they've gotten out of Egypt, and it's 3 months later. And remember, the pain and the agony and all the death and destruction of slavery is fresh on them. It's 3 months after being rescued by God out of slavery. And in this, as they're thinking back to this incredible deliverance through the Red Sea, and they're remembering how God was faithful, God wanted his people to trust him. So in Exodus 14:13, it says, and Israel saw the great work which the Lord did against the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and his servant Moses. Therefore, the Ten Commandments begin with what? With this. I love this. I am the Lord your God. Is there any question of who's in charge? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. What's he saying there? Worship me. What's the law based on? Faith in God. Faith in his promise. He's been faithful. He's saying, do you guys remember a few months ago where I was faithful? I'm unchanging here. Trust me now. Whatever you're going through, put your trust in me. Have faith in me. It's always been about faith. It's always been about faith. God meant, remember how I demonstrated my power, my love, how I showed you who I am, how I revealed myself to you. Trust me now and trust me in the time to come. God is for us. He's always been for us. To review, the law is fulfilled in love. The fruit of faith is love. And the law didn't call for works of merit, but the obedience which flows from faith. Guys, one last thought as we get ready to move forward. God's law is beautiful. God's law is beautiful. We should delight in God's law, take pleasure in his law. Meditate on it day and night. Psalms 119:97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Let's not think of the law as that thing that we have to achieve in our effort. The law is, it's God's blessing for us. The law breathes life into us. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. My hope and prayer is that as we continue on, guys, that there's some clarity. And I felt like we couldn't go any further without bringing real clarity to the law. And I realize I really didn't get much past verse 17. I didn't even get into 18 through 20. I just really feel like God's saying, just stay right there. Stay right there. And so as you guys are moving forward, I want to encourage you. Fall in love with God's law. As you've fallen in love with God, allow his love, your love for him, to give you a love for what's important to him. To see how it's, man, it's how I stay on the right path. It's how I'm salt and light. I come to his law, and it gives me an idea of how I do this. Because without the law, there's feelings and emotion, but there's no understanding. And so now I have somewhere to go with those feelings. I have truth to walk into. And the law is beautiful because now I get to understand the heart of God and how I get to please him. Guys, how great is that? We don't have a God who loves us and says, you know what? Just figure it out. You know what drives kids crazy? Is when the rules are always changing by the parents. Where there are no rules. Or maybe there's really strict rules, but this is a strict rule today. And tomorrow, this is a strict rule. And that one isn't so strict anymore because mom or dad isn't there anymore. Or grandma, grandpa, or the guardian isn't there anymore. And so when the boundaries are always changing, what happens to kids? They get insecure. Walking on eggshells. But God's law is clear. We don't have to walk on eggshells waiting for our Heavenly Father to say, okay, mess up. Come on. We have a loving God. This is not the picture. This is the picture I had of God when I was a child. Get it right. That's not our God. This is the picture we have of God. Christ on the cross, dying for our sins. It's not one hand up in anger, it's two hands up in love. Love in action. Praise God for that. Let's close in prayer. Father, I pray that our hearts would be drawn to your word. Lord, you love us so much that you've provided a way for us to get to know you better. The scriptures. Father, may your word become what we need, what we crave, what we desire. What we desire more than anything else is knowing you and loving you back. Father, forgive us for being so easily misled. Forgive us for being satisfied with so little. Father, I pray for anyone here who doesn't know you yet, Lord, that they would see that the law, your truth, is not about do's and don'ts, but it's a love letter to your people of saying what you've done because you love us so much, and you are holy and we are not, and yet you've provided a way for us to be with a holy, loving God. Father, thank you that you sent your son, that Jesus, that you died on the cross for our sins, that we are not stuck in our sin and dead in our sins and eternally separated from you, but through faith that is given to us by your grace, Lord, not because we earned it for good works, but because of what you've done. And we choose to believe. We believe. And that's enough, according to your word. Lord, as we receive your truth and are transformed, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would be calling to people here. Lord, for those who don't know you yet, that they would come to faith in you. For those who know you, that we would be experiencing more and more freedom as we understand we are not under the weight of the wrong understanding of the law, of the guilt of the law, but we are under the blessing of the truth of your love pronounced in your law, in your word. May we be free from the bondage and the yoke of the lies and the slavery to sin. May we be free in you to accomplish what you've prepared in advance for us to do. And Lord, may we be free to be in loving relationships with each other, even where there's a disagreement. even where we don't see and think and feel the same. Praise God, Lord, you've made a way for us to move forward. Move through us, Lord, in love. We thank you that you love us, that you've shown your love to us, and that you are unchanging. Lord, we're grateful. Bless us this day. Make us a blessing to many in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.